Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Join us online, of course, at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features we have waiting for you there. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. We have our own social media platform at social.freetalklive.com, and that is where you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners and hosts of the show. In fact, the main Free Talk Live website has been changed recently, like a total change. We haven't really announced that yet, just kind of been a soft launch, I guess you could say. So if you haven't been to freetalklive.com in the last week, you should probably go and check it out, and you can leave some feedback, I think, and let us know what you think. There's definitely some bugs that probably need to get fixed as we detect them, but see it for yourself over at freetalklive.com. We're going to go back to your calls and thoughts. We have Press NH now with us. We've been talking mostly about his situation that is developing here in New Hampshire with the Hillsborough Police Department, which is a small town pretty much next door to where you live, Jay.
Yeah.
Hillsborough, the only good thing in Hillsborough that I've ever seen is Taco Biondo, which is an absolutely fantastic taco place. But the police are notoriously corrupt there. They like to go and scope out parking lots and run people's plates in order to find people that have warrants and things like that. In this case, I think, didn't they scope you out in a parking lot as well before they pulled you over?
They did. They did, actually. So in the report, it actually says that they were checking out the, they were doing like a, as they call it, like a business check or parking lot check for, you know, broken in vehicles. So yeah, I was at the Henniker Park and Ride, and they circled around me while I was doing a child exchange custody with my ex-wife. They ran my plate, and I saw another officer as I left, and that's when they attacked.
And they apparently attacked you because ran your plate, which means dispatch ran the plate and got back to them and said there's a protective order or a restraining order in place on this guy. And they didn't detect that restraining order had been removed 7 months prior, and they didn't bother to look when you encouraged them. You told them when you got pulled over, just here, I'll give you my ID. You can go check it out before you do something stupid like arrest me wrongfully.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend told them the exact same thing, and she was the person who had pulled that restraining order some time ago, and you guys had a minor disagreement.
It was 4 days after the initial complaint that, you know, was filed, and it was just a verbal dispute.
Right.
And
you guys are on good terms now. That's why she was in the car with you.
Yeah, of course. Of course. We've been on great terms. Yeah. About to have my baby and, you know, everything else. And But none of that
mattered to these cops. They didn't care about what she actually said. All they cared about was what they thought, which was misinformation from dispatch about this thing. And they arrested you because you didn't get out of the car fast enough. Why didn't you get out of the car fast enough?
He was asking me for my identification. I was trying to explain to him, obviously, about the protection order, and it wasn't in place. It's a double check, and that's when I went to give him my identification after he asked me to step out of the vehicle, and I was trying to de-escalate the situation by doing so, by complying, which is what we're supposed to do by law when we're pulled over. And he didn't want to hear it, and he kept saying, get out of the car,
And you were like, and this is in the video, by the way, that you can still access at the Press NH Now YouTube channel. There's also an article up at freekeen.com, at least until there's more severe threats brought against you. I don't think you're going to pull that down immediately. There's a court hearing in regards to that. We'll talk about that.
I will at all, actually.
Okay, that's a good question. I was going to ask you that question, but I want to get to that part. So So you, this cop is telling you to get out of the car, and you're like, wait a minute, here, let me give you my ID. You can run this thing, and it'll show you that there's no restraining order in place, and he just didn't care about that.
No, and I was trying to, I was actually trying to resist them from charging me with a possible disobeying a police officer because I know the law.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, if you don't provide your identification or registration, you can be arrested for disobeying. And that's not an easy charge to get away with, especially when you're pulled over with a possible violation. You know, but they, to go back a little bit, they are what they're supposed to do with procedure, which they're actually failing to give me in discovery is policies and procedures, which I'm putting an objection into that, and a motion, to have the court order the judge to give me those documents because I believe that in there is my evidence. You know, that they didn't proceed with. And one of those.
What you mean by that is, let me make sure I'm following you here. You're saying that they have certain things they're supposed to do. Their police procedures should include that if it's alleged that there's a restraining order against somebody, that they should actually look at it first and see if that's true. Is that right?
Well, so the big problem here is that when they run a plate and, the first thing that comes up, if there is a protection order, in place at all, if there ever was one, there are still conditions. Just one of those conditions is not a no contact order has been removed. They don't see that. They see the initial order that there is one in place with the descriptors of both parties.
Mm-hmm.
And the name came back as both parties. And with a female in the vehicle, they pulled me over. But what they're supposed to do with procedure is do what's called a fax back. And a fax back is they fax a number to get the actual order, the updated order from either the courts or the state police and CIC.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get it back within minutes, maybe a couple minutes. They have a fax machine in the vehicle or at dispatch, and they read off the order, and they say, look, it's not active. You're on your way. And they didn't do that. They stripped me out of my vehicle. They put me in cuffs. They arrested me for disobeying.
Well, they must have done it at some point, right? Because they ended up not charging you with the charge of violating the restraining order.
I knew I wasn't going to get charged with it because I knew for a fact that it wasn't in place.
Right.
I was just waiting for them to confirm that, which they should have done on the side of the road. They instead arrested me for disobeying. And then later on during my booking, they finally got the facts back, which was over an hour later.
Wow.
And they never charged me with it. And then a week later, they charged me with resisting detention. And I think the real reason why
they is this a misdemeanor, by the way, resisting detention?
It is, yeah.
Is it a Class A misdemeanor or Class B, do you know?
I think it's I'm not 100%. I don't want to misquote it. Not 100% right now.
Okay.
I haven't looked at
the reason I ask for our listeners, they may not understand the difference. In New Hampshire, if you get charged with a Class A misdemeanor, you face up to a year in jail, and therefore you can have a jury trial if you so decide. In fact, Jay Noon is going through that procedure now where he and his wife went to a bench trial. They lost at the bench trial, and they get to do what they call a de novo appeal or a from-the-beginning appeal where basically the judge issues the sentence, and then it immediately gets kicked up to Superior Court, and it starts all over again, actually with different prosecutors, as I understand it. This, this next time for you, Jay, it's going to be the county prosecuting you instead of the whoever the hell it was the first time. The city. So that may be an option for you if they end up charging you Class A. Of course, a lot of the times they'll charge Class A initially, and then they'll reduce it to a Class B once they realize you're going to go to trial, and they don't want to give you a jury.
Yeah, and they didn't even give me a plea deal. I even had the prosecutor on my arraignment didn't even show up.
That's right. Yeah, I was there for that.
Yeah, he said a motion to dismiss.
He didn't. I did put in a motion to dismiss, and they didn't even. They didn't even listen to it. They didn't. They just said, "Do you want a pretrial conference or do you want a trial?" And I said,
"A pretrial conference is just another wasted day in court. I mean, there's no point in going to a pretrial conference."
Yeah, it's just another option to either plea out or
That's all it is. It's just another chance for them to negotiate.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you need to do before there's a trial. First off, you need to have a motion to. Challenging the jurisdiction of the court, a motion to dismiss hearing, you got to have, you know, there's a whole bunch of things, you know, that really need to be done, and they're going to be very difficult about allowing these things to happen because they just want to, you know, ramrod you through.
Mm-hmm.
But
the big problem, I think, not only in just New Hampshire alone, and I think we all can agree, is that too many people plea out. People back down, and they take the rap, and they just don't want the problems. And what they don't understand is that causes them more problems down the road, and they
sure
lose,
does.
And the government wins. And I say, if only 20% of people took anything to trial, they would be bombarded.
You don't need 20%. Yeah, 5% would be a huge 5%. Change. And I'm talking about everything. Speeding tickets, parking tickets, anything they come at you with, you take that thing to trial. And that's how we do it out here in the Keene area. That's what we've been doing. Yeah. Bonnie took some parking ticket trial. She won! That case was dismissed.
I just took one yesterday, and I lost. Apparently, I lost. But
oh no! What happened? Where was this?
This was over in Newport from the state police. It was actually back in the Charlestown days when they popped my tires.
What was it? What, a parking ticket?
Yeah, no, it was a speeding ticket.
Oh, speeding.
Coming back on.
Oh, you should have let us know, dude. We would have gone out and recorded it.
That was two and a half years ago. That was right when I got arrested for the Charlestown case. That was around
wow,
the same
you
time.
Didn't. They held a speeding ticket trial 2 years before they actually went to trial.
Oh, just about. Yeah, yeah, and I lost, and which is fine. It is what it is. I still fought it. I actually had to put a continuance in for it because I had my arraignment. Imagine that.
Wow. Man, you got a lot going on all at once. People can follow your channel on YouTube. It's Press NH Now. The video is there, and you just said a moment ago that you're thinking about not taking it down, even if a judge orders you.
They can hold me in contempt for as long as they need to.
Okay.
You shouldn't say like you're okay with that. You should rephrase it and be like, if they hold me in contempt, I require $1 million per hour or something.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. Yeah. Don't just roll over these guys and say it's okay for them to do anything. You know, you are valuable, and your time actually is going to be extremely valuable. Congratulations all the way. You got a baby on the way. And you need to prepare for that. Your time is valuable, and you need to let them know. I think you need to send them a fee schedule. I'll actually send you a copy of a fee schedule that I sent out to the state a while ago. I just actually sent you a thing on a direct message, you a link, and I'd like you to go read that affidavit on that link. Because you have an audience, and you can expand your audience a little more. By doing this, and you can, and what I would do if I was you, I would use my YouTube reach out, and I would say, hey, you know, people who are forced to pay taxes in New Hampshire, this police officer, this police department, and this court are creating a massive liability for the taxpayers, and it's all New Hampshire taxpayers, not just Hillsboro. They're creating
a
liability.
Well, they know this for a fact, and I'll tell you why. Is because the phone calls have yet stopped.
So
every time I put a video out, phone calls and emails are being bombarded through that station.
Okay, I got something way more powerful than phone calls and emails.
You'd be surprised, but I listen.
So anyone who is in New Hampshire, and there's this thing in the New Hampshire Constitution where anyone who is a taxpayer has a right to sue the state. So anybody in New Hampshire is so the court and the police there are creating a liability. When you go bring when you sue the court, when you sue the prosecutor, it's going to be the state of New Hampshire that's going to pay out. When you sue
the taxpayers,
correct. So when you sue the police department there, it'll be the local insurance company. So here's a couple of things that need to happen. A right to know request for the oath of office of everyone involved. So this would be the prosecutor, the cop, the dispatcher, the superior of the cop. Also, a right to know request for the bonding, the indemnification bond. for the cop.
How much their insurance covers, right?
Yep. You want their indemnification bond. You want the indemnification bond to include the bond number, the company contact information for the company that has this number, and the town of Hillsborough will have an indemnification bond. I did these requests with Henniker, and Henniker had they sent me their indemnification bond. They also denied my request for the oath of office because they said that they had no oath of office for, you know, their code enforcement guy and their town manager. I didn't ask for one for the cops, and you know, I didn't have an issue with the police. Anyways, but you do. And the other thing you can do, it was very powerful, is affidavit. I sent you a link to this affidavit, and basically, the affidavit I sent you has to do with CPS specifically, but it could be added to reworded. If somebody from Hillsborough, for example, New Hampshire, says, writes out an affidavit kind of similar to this one I sent you, and like you create a specific affidavit boilerplate, and that's what this one is that I sent you, that people can just sign, and then they send it certified mail to the Hillsborough Town Selectmen or Town Council. They send it to the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. And they send them three different affidavits, basically. One is addressed to the executive, one is addressed to the legislative, and one is addressed to the judicial. And in the affidavit, you say, hey, these guys are committing a liability. Anyone can do this. I can send one. Mm-hmm. Ian can send one. They're creating a liability in the form of because they're doing wrong things, because they're falsely arresting, because they're targeting you, because they're harassing you. The example has already been set, especially with your case in the Charlestown situation where, you know, you won, where this is wrong what they are doing. All you are is a First Amendment auditor, and you can even put in there that you've asked these cops. And you can cite the video or whatever you have. Hey, what are the elements of the First Amendment? And they won't answer it. They won't say it. You know, they won't even talk about it because obviously they don't know. So you can say, we know that the cops don't follow the Constitution.
How could they have sworn an oath to the thing? They don't know what it says.
Correct. They don't know what these things say. They don't know what they mean. They're not educated in constitutional law. They're not educated in the application of the Constitution. So in these affidavits, you lay out that, and as someone who's just Joe Blow citizen, that's just, you know, lives at 123 Main Street, Hillsborough, New Hampshire, would be like, I got to pay taxes, and these actions of these police officers in these, you know, court system and the court are causing me harm and liability because my tax, because I have to pay for this damage.
So what does this do, though? I mean,
so what does it do? So in this affidavit, also, you demand that the legislative body or the legislature, the executive, straighten the situation out. What you're doing is, in a sworn affidavit, you are explaining to them what is wrong. You're explaining to them what the damage is.
Just going to throw it away.
And
I don't care.
You are, well, possibly, and you are explaining, and you are demanding that they do something about it. And if they don't do anything about it, and included in this affidavit, you'll see that they have, that you are not giving them any authority or power to do anything. You've actually removed it from them because it says clearly in the Constitution, all power of the government is
derived
vested in
from
the people.
It is derived from the people. That's nonsense because they just do whatever they want.
But the thing is
well,
nobody.
They're trying to silence me.
Right,
is what they're doing. That's what they're trying to do. And this isn't the first time. Actually, the other day, Long Island Audit. I don't know if you're familiar with who that is over in New York, but he got 8 restraining orders put against him from police officers to the DMV officials, and a couple other people. He got 8 restraining orders put against him, and he's fighting that right now, too.
Wow.
So another thing, too, is these affidavits need to be sent to state legislatures. Now, in New Hampshire, we have a whole bunch of friendly state legislatures.
Mm-hmm.
And I will, not on the air, but I will give you a list of state legislatures who send these affidavits to. And the state legislature, there are many people in the state legislature right now that are going, so there's going to be a committee brought against to investigate DCYF and DCYF social workers for their crimes and what they have done. There's also going to be committees brought against the state police having to do with the New Hampshire Noble Nine for arresting all of those guys.
There's from these affidavits?
Because you are going to order the legislative officer directly. You are going to say, you know, Officer Jane Doe, legislative legislator Jane Doe, the woman, for example, I am writing you to basically order you to demand that you investigate this. You correct this wrong. You strip the power from these people.
Well, some of them may do it because they want to, but I don't think that they care about what people. I mean,
I don't think they're obligated.
They are obligated. When you send them, read this affidavit I sent you.
All right.
Let's hook up later at a later time.
Yeah, take this off the air.
Yeah.
I know he's going to be at Hillsborough District Court 11 a.m. on Monday to face this particular restraining order or this so-called protective order that the police want. Now, the judge has not issued a preliminary injunction, correct? There's not anything that's going right now on this, right?
Just a court date. That's it.
Okay, so they just did an expedited court date. This would be a great time for supporters to come out. I don't know. You're probably working, Jay, but if you can be there, it might be cool to.
I would like to try to go. I have to go to that court for another reason anyway,
okay,
so this
perfect.
Might be a good opportunity.
Well, yeah,
to do
and
that.
I know that, Press, you are going to have an event at that court next week anyway for recording video in the court, which is
on
something
October 3rd, yeah.
Which you've been doing.
Yeah, I'm trying.
So now you got another court date there all of a sudden.
A little more for you, Press NH. So instead of phone calls are easy, and emails, when these guys start getting certified mail affidavits demanding that they do something, because especially the legislature, the state legislature, and there are people within the state legislature willing to take action, they're willing to form committees, because we have a lot of libertarians and freedom fighters within the New Hampshire state legislature because of the Free State Project and the Shire Society and, you know, awesome things we have going on here. But when they start getting affidavits and they are not responding to these affidavits, they are not responding to the people, they are not doing the will of the people. It is not the will of the people for police officers and tax dollars to be used to deny you your rights, to injure you. And, you know, this just keeps happening again and again and again. And what you will start seeing, police officers resign. With this kind of activity, an affidavit takes energy. It's going to take someone like 3 hours of their life to totally get it, write down an affidavit, you know, go to the post off, you know, edit it, check it, you know, get it up, you know, author it.
That means it's probably not going to happen a whole lot.
So a lot of people aren't going to do it. But if you make it simple and easy and create a boilerplate, kind of like the one I just sent you, affidavits are extremely powerful. So
Should be probably, Jay, and I don't know if you know the right people. You might know some people who could help you with this. Maybe there could be a website. You know, NH affidavits or whatever, or something like that.
There is a website I sent him. It's not specific NH, but myself and a few other people have been talking the last few days about basically doing exactly that. A template set up,
that's what people need.
They need
something straightforward to help them with this. Hey, Press, anything else you want to share here tonight, right quick?
Just check out the video, guys. You'll get more information from that.
Yeah, and whatever you do, don't display, share, or copy this video anywhere, or you may be brought up on criminal charges by the Hillsborough Police Department.
Don't put on any blockchain.
And whatever you do, don't call the Hillsborough Police Department or the prosecutor and tell them how you feel about what they're doing. Don't use the number that you'll find over at freekeen.com on the latest article that was posted there. Thank you for the call tonight, Press. I appreciate it, man. And keep us in the loop
on
this. And we'll be there to support you on Monday. We got more coming up here. You can join the show, 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
USA News Update. Almost 13,000 UAW members are currently on strike, and this figure may increase tomorrow. United Auto Workers President Sean Fain has set a Friday deadline for the three major U.S. automakers to address the union's call for improved pay and pension benefits. A recent study highlights a potential association between diet soda consumption and autism. Scientists at the University of Texas Health Science Center discovered that expectant mothers who consumed one can of diet soda daily were more prone to having a child on the autism spectrum. The White House is defending its border policies as migrant crossings are surging. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We have worked very hard. The president has worked very hard to implement a strategy when it comes to the border that is humane, safe, and has orderly enforcement.
I'm Dave Collins, USA News.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get cloudy. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here if you would like. The number is 603-283-6160. Actually, those phones are completely loaded right now, so you may be getting a busy signal if you're trying that number. You can, however, call us on our SIP line, S-I-P, super important person. That's not what it actually stands for, but it's a computer thing. Anyway, it's basically online VoIP calling, and you can get a free app and a free account to set up your own SIP line, and then you can call us, and it doesn't cost you any minutes. It doesn't cost you any long distance. If you're halfway across the world and you have an internet connection, it's a great way to call into the studio here during our live show. Just go to sip.freetalklive.com. That's sip.freetalklive.com. Right now, the SIP line is the only open line that we have, so we got to get back into these calls here, Jay. And let's go to David Hathaway, the sheriff, in Arizona, Santa Cruz County, right on the border there in Arizona. Welcome, Sheriff Hathaway.
Yeah, good evening, Jay. Good evening, Ian. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit tonight about jury selection and jury pools. And I just finished today listening to Ernie Hancock's interview of you, Ian, and And, you know, part of the process during that interview, he discussed the process of the jury selection in your case. And then there was a caller tonight also talking about jury nullification and jury selection. And, you know, one of the problems of why you get a, you know, jury pools that don't have the anarchist type, the voluntarist type, is because they go to the voter registration list to get their potential, you know, jury selectees.
Right.
And so, you know, within that list, you have a lot of principled anarchists and voluntarists that will not register to vote because there's this fallacious social contract, the idea of this social contract that, you know, you select those that govern you through the democratic voting process, but then you have a reciprocal obligation to judge your peers in a court, you know, being part of a jury. So that's why out here, both in the state and in the federal courts, they use the voter registration. So it's kind of already a tainted pool. You already have status people and people who kind of buy off on that social contract idea. But there's also other people that will never register to vote. Like, I know a lot of you know, Mennonites and devout Mennonites and Amish, and there's other ones like Jehovah's Witness that will refuse to vote or register to vote or participate in any government benefit program because they look at their religious beliefs like the Bible says you should not serve two masters, you know, that you will wind up hating one and loving the other. So they don't believe that they should submit to the government. So they refuse to vote or to register to vote. So there's people like that that don't believe that the state has a right to lord it over anybody or to make decisions over anybody's life. And as a matter of fact, in the Bible, there's even a passage talking about do not take your disputes to the state. That's a shame if you can't decide these things amongst yourself, amongst the, you know, the Christians. Now, modern so-called Christians just ignore all this stuff. You know, they don't care that the Bible says, you know, you can't serve two masters or to don't take your disputes to the state. They could care less about that. But, you know, so that's kind of the main thing I wanted to point out is that the jury pool in the first place is tainted. So even if you talk about tactics to get around the what do they call it, the voir dire process, voir dire process, you know, and how you can get past that and, you know, so that they don't think that you're tainted by being a libertarian or something. Well, more fundamentally than that, a lot of principled people will not even register to vote.
That's
they don't believe in this social contract nonsense.
Now, I think in some states, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but don't some states pull from driver's licenses?
Out here, they do the jury pull, but that could also be, I mean, they do the voter registration list, but that could also be the case.
I think some states do that, but even still, you still don't get people who don't have state IDs, which of course would be the most principled, like Jay Noon type people that don't ever, you know, never had a social security number, never asked for a permission slip from the state. You're absolutely right about that, David.
Yeah, and that's basically all I had to say. I'm looking forward to the trip next week to Keene. Me and my wife are coming out there, so we're looking forward to meeting some people and getting out there. But enjoying the show, and I'll give it back to you guys.
Hey, thanks for listening, and thanks for the call tonight. Let's continue here. We have Major Payne on the line in Michigan. Go ahead, Major Payne.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I got three counts of overzealous laws here from Michigan just in the last little bit.
Okay.
I called in and talked to the captain about this a bit on Sunday, but they hadn't charged the cat yet. There was a dude from Florida that got into the police parking lot behind the post there and doused five or six cars with gasoline and lit them up.
Oh, wow.
And I told the captain when I was talking to him, I said, where this guy went wrong is he started shooting the damn cars. Well, it turns out they're charging him with one count of arson, some kind of a terrorist count, and 11 counts, which must be how many rounds they expended, of attempted murder, shooting an empty car.
Whoa. Wow, that's crazy.
Isn't it? Okay, so on the good news front, you know, remember the old Gretchen the Grinch Whitmer, our governor?
Yeah.
Well, remember the kidnapping debacle with the...
I heard a few more guys got found not guilty on that.
Yeah, the three guys that didn't roll over and take the plea deal got found innocent of all charges.
Wow. Now, as I understand, if I recall correctly, there were more than three that didn't take the plea. There was a few more. Two of them did get found not guilty, but a couple did get found guilty. Isn't that true? And then this most recent batch got found not guilty.
I don't know. I just remember the four of them were hanging on for a long time. Mm-hmm. There might have been a couple lower-level charges, you know, on some... Mm-hmm. These guys were just baited by the feds.
Well, yeah, it was just a sting operation that was created, you know, and this is what the FBI does. They got to
set people up.
They got to conjure up a plan. They go find some people that they can sort of convince. And, you know, I definitely know people that can be conned into doing things. They're sort of kind of low IQ, or they're desperate, or they're like, you know, they're a single mom that doesn't have any help, that's got a grudge, the feds will threaten them, oh, we're taking your baby away, or they'll be
do anything.
We can help you out, and, you know, but basically anyone who's low confidence is a potential, target for the FBI to get them to either be some kind of informant or to do some kind of crime.
Sure. A little bit of pressure will flip a lot of people.
And there's hundreds of examples of this.
Melanie Neighbors is a good example.
Well, and Melanie Neighbors, the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, that was a, you know, FBI, you know, operation they helped along. There was another guy that, like, it's crazy. You can just go on and on for hours about this.
Anything else about the story, Major, you want to point out?
Another one they're trying to do is now they put a bill into the legislature where if you have any kind of a, what the hell do you call it, an assault charge, okay, and you're found guilty of any kind of assault, whether it be spitting on a cop's shoe or whatever it might be, you are going to lose your right to purchase a firearm for 8 years.
Just for any assault?
Any assault charge.
This is Michigan.
And you know,
this is in Michigan.
The definition of assault is way broad anymore.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, all you got to do is
assault can be a verbal thing, too. It doesn't have to. It depends on the state, I think, and how it's defined, but it can also just be saying something that is upsetting
as
well.
Yeah, you can say F you to a cop.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All you got to do is rattle their cage, and you've suddenly assaulted them.
So this is Michigan, just to be clear, you're talking about with this assault law?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mel, thanks for the update, Major. I appreciate the call tonight. Let's go to Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Oh, am I on?
You are on. Go ahead.
Okay. So, here in Albuquerque, people just went crazy over the electric bicycles.
Really? How crazy?
Well, enough that we're going to get a 20 miles per hour at the bicycle patch. That's what people are wanting.
What does that mean? 20 miles an hour.
They're going so fast, the electric bike goes over. They're kind of like running into people. They're jogging. They have regular bicycles. They're going so fast.
And they're silent. They're actually extremely dangerous. One of the things, concerns I had at Pork Fest is you have all these like 8-year-olds and teenagers riding these Segways and these one wheels around. And like, I got toddlers and it was like, I had to go grab my kid because he was going to get run over by one of these things. And so when someone's driving a car, for example, they have insurance and their brain's fully developed, or should be fully developed. But usually if you're 16 years old, you're developed enough to understand, like, you know, the simple fact that if I create a damage, my insurance is going to go up and I might not be able to afford to drive my car if I, you know, can't pay the insurance.
Not so with a bicycle.
Not so with an 8-year-old on a Segway.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing with my uncle had one of these, had one of these electric, mountain bike type things, tire things. And I took it for a ride and, he's like, and it's got a thing for how much volume knob type button. So you can like make it so
the
like,
throttle or something. Or
well, so it's got like a throttle, but then it's got another thing. You could turn it all the way up and like this thing will like haul. But this thing will do about 47 miles an hour. It's actually scary.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Because you can basically jailbreak them. And so basically he just opened it up. and he desoldered some kind of something on it, and it would come right out from underneath you if it had a full battery and you hammered it. It was like more powerful than like some motorcycles.
That's crazy.
I've ridden. But it's very light. The thing only weighs about 35 pounds or 40 pounds, and and when I say it'll come out from underneath you, if you have the thing turned all the way up and you just full throttle it. And because he told me, he goes, be careful. Don't drive this thing on like 5, you know, just drive it on 2, and then you can turn it all the way up and try it. But he's like, don't gas it unless you're moving because you'll get hurt. And he's right. I had to hang on to it.
So, you know what, you know what we need? We need speeding cameras on the bicycle.
No. That's not what you need.
Well, it's a surveillance camera.
What are you personal responsibilities?
What are you saying, Sarah, is the problem with the bikes there? You're saying they're going too fast?
Well, you know what? I was walking on the bicycle path, and then one of these electric bikes did pass me, but he was very courteous. I said, on the left. And I looked around, and then he wasn't pedaling. But he was going slow enough, and he alerted us. But I'm talking about the other bozos that just run people over and keep on going.
Oh,
like he was saying, these bicycles are scary.
So I'm in the horse business. I grew up in the horse business, and trail riding is what a lot of people do with their horses. They go ride on these trails. So in Cape Cod, there's like this whole trail network of horse trails, and also people hike on them and they bicycle on them and a whole nine yards. And one of the issues that's happening with the people riding their horses is all of a sudden a bicycle goes right by them and scares the rider. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's like a dirt bike, you hear them coming. So growing up in the woods of Western Mass, we had dirt bike trails all over the place, and I was on dirt bikes and horses. And when you're on your horse, you hear a dirt bike coming. You just get off to the side of the trail because the dirt bike's going to be probably, hammering down the trail. And now they have these electric motorcycles that are like, you don't hear anything, and all of a sudden this thing is there. I imagine people are, I know in Colorado somebody hit like a moose or something on an electric ATV. Like last summer I heard about this, and it was like the dude had to get, life flighted out of there because he was doing like 60 miles an hour and hit a moose. Moose might have heard the dirt bike because dirt bikes don't really hit. When these animals hear like engines coming, they tend to be aware or look for it. And the moose is just hanging out and all of a sudden gets, smacked by a 60 mile an hour electric motorcycle. And so loud pipes save lives. And this is why, like a lot of these electric cars will make noises like mimicking a car running.
I've never heard that.
Yep. Sure. They have.
Usually, if an electric car comes by, and thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight, even though it seems like Sarah doesn't want anybody to do anything except walk everywhere. She hates cars. Now she hates bikes, or at least electric bikes. But normally I hear like a kind of a high-pitched tone with these electric cars when they're coming by. There's sort of like this high-pitched.
Yep.
It's hard to really imitate it, but it's like almost like a whine.
Those are the electric motors. That's usually a low-speed thing. But it might be a generated sound. I know Luke has an electric car, and you can actually program what like low-pitched noise it'll do. Like,
just to let people know it's there.
Yeah, just to let people know that, like,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a danger. Let's continue here. We got Dave Ridley on the line from RidleyReport.com. Go ahead, Ridley.
I just wanted to let you know that I have tentatively scheduled a demonstration for the period of time, about an hour and a half before your sentencing on October 2nd.
Cool.
So the idea would be the federal building, tentatively federal building, 8:30 a.m., Concord, New Hampshire. We can fill in the details later.
Cool. What is the demonstration's purpose?
Demonstration is to protest your sentencing.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that, Ridley. I definitely appreciate the kind efforts. Hopefully, it will have some sort of an impact. Certainly, people showing up and being on my side can help, especially in the courtroom. And I really appreciate it. I think it was over 100 people who came out to the first part of sentencing, which happened almost a couple of weeks ago at this point. And as you said here, Ridley, the second part, hopefully the final part, is going to be coming up on October 2nd at Concord Federal Court. It starts at 10 a.m., but you're going to be there 90 minutes in advance, it sounds like.
That's my plan, and I'm posting details to forum.shiresociety.com.
Okay, great.
I guess I should probably sing that so people can remember it.
Go for it.
Forum.shiresociety.com.
What else is going on with you, Ridley? I know you started up the Ridley Report again recently. How's that going?
Well, that was one of the things I was already thinking about doing a Ridley Rampage around October 3rd, you know, where I go from government meeting to government meeting asking questions with my cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So since I was going to do that around the 3rd anyway, I just thought, well, maybe I could expand that one day, just go out earlier. Because I have to, like, plan in advance, rent a car and stuff like that. I don't own a vehicle.
Mm.
But so that demonstration is kind of part of the 3rd and the 4th, I was planning on shooting some videos anyway at government meetings that are scheduled at that point. So that's where it stands right now with that.
Hey Dave, I got a question that you could put in your magazine of questions. What evidence do you have that the New Hampshire Code or Constitution applies to someone quite simply because they're on this soil we call New Hampshire? Let's not say because you're in New Hampshire, because that would mean you're in within the corporation, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But I think bureaucrats need to ask what evidence they have that the Code or Constitution applies to any man or woman just because they're on this dirt we call New Hampshire.
That'll stump them.
Right.
I guess I could. I wouldn't rule it out immediately. Oh, also, by the way, with regard to October 2nd, I'm thinking about, and I could use feedback on this idea, but I was thinking about scheduling follow-up demonstrations like every half an hour for the rest of the day after your sentencing, like at every single federal facility in Concord, one after the other.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to handle that exactly. It would be difficult to set a time for it, but I'm looking for feedback on that idea.
I think you're going to find a point of diminishing returns with that, likely. People are going to be, you know, tired at some point and probably won't want. I mean, although at the same time, you might get people getting out of work later on in the day who want to come to a thing they couldn't come to in the morning. So maybe you would see different people showing up later on.
To tailgate in a parking lot and cook, like, offer, like, sausages or something.
Yeah, we used to do that in Keene a long time ago at the jail, where we would throw essentially a party with what you're talking about, like a cookout. People would bring food. There was a grill, usually, and we would, whenever somebody was going into jail, we'd throw them a party in the jail parking lot before they went in, and then when they would get out of jail, we'd throw them another party in the jail parking lot when they got out. So I remember people were smoking joints out across the street from the jail in the parking lot, and there was, you know, hot food being cooked, and then they moved the jail to a different town, and they completely locked it down, and they arrested a dozen people for having visiting the jail, basically, and walking around the property. So that kind of ended that tradition, unfortunately.
Yeah, I like that idea, Jay. And, you know, like I said, I can't double the number of protesters who appear in front of the Concord Federal Building, but I can double the number of protests.
Very good. Very good. Dave, thanks for the call tonight. Thanks for the update, and appreciate the kind thoughts and efforts. That's Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. Dr. Butt is on the line in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Pain in the jackass. He had a conversation with a moron today.
Oh. And, did he have a badge?
Yeah, at one point, he would have had something close to it. How about a military uniform suffice?
Okay. What happened?
Yeah, and this moron, well, number one, one of my allegations is that he was a moron for even going into our contemporary military. And you can tell me where you agree and disagree. One, because this military, I mean, first of all, do they protect we the people, or do they protect the fake illegal organized crime government that we have in the obvious?
It seems like the latter.
Right. Yeah, that would be the obvious answer to me. And then this moron, so he's a moron on that point, and he said he was proud to serve. And I asked him, you know, why would you be proud to be a mercenary? This is what you're doing. Of course, he ended the discussion before we could actually have a serious discussion on this. But I, I accused him of being a mercenary for this unlawful, illegal government, and he didn't have any comeback to that, so he ended the conversation. But that's the other thing, is you're actually a mercenary. You're taking money, and you're not defending we the people. You're, mm-hmm. you're defending the government that's oppressing us. Of course, the government that's oppressing us would say, no, we're defending the American people. But we all know that's not true. And then the second part where I think he's a moron was he had volunteered to his job in the military was to get inside of a tin can, an armored tin can that shoots at other people in the form of a tank. And to me, that's always seemed like a really stupid move because if you're part of a before I do that one, I got to make sure to get in the third point, which is actually more important, and that is when I disagreed with this military personnel person retired on these points. He said that in response to my attitude about him and my allegations about him and the military, that he and his fellow tank crew members, they would beat me up. They would use violence against me because I disagreed with them. So I just wanted to
everybody
to know.
Yeah, notice he said him and his other members. He wasn't going to fight you by himself, was he?
Yeah.
Well, that was another thought, too. He wouldn't continue the conversation, but my next invitation was, based on his threat of violence, where he volunteered the rest of his crew to gang up on one guy, I was going to invite him to a one-on-one lawful combat session, you know, whether in a cage or a ring or whatever, where it's legal to do so.
Is that legal in New Mexico?
Well, no. It's legal everywhere if you're doing it as part of a sanctioned sport.
But then there's licenses and a bunch of stuff like that. You know, it is ironic, Doctor, that these military people love to talk about how they're fighting for your freedom, and if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have the freedom of speech, and you wouldn't have, you know, the freedom of fill in the blank. But yet, you use your freedom of speech to express yourself to this guy who supposedly was fighting for your freedoms, and what does he do? He says he's going to attack you. He's going to violently harm you with his buddies.
Yeah, the military just fights. Yeah. To prop up the power of the U.S. dollar.
That's all they've ever done.
That's really all they
do. Exactly. Yeah, he referred to beating me up as they called it physical therapy.
Wow, you know, that's
he's
sick.
Not man enough to admit that he's just beating somebody up, him and some of his buddies. Oh, and the last thing that he's a moron, the point I was making was, I think you're a moron if you voluntarily get into a tank where you're target number one for things like 500-pound bombs and javelin missiles and things that blow things, tanks up. And you know, if you ever watched like popcorn pop in a pan, that's kind of what you and your crew members are going to do when the enemy targets you.
Yeah.
Target number
personally,
one.
I wouldn't use, you know, insulting terms against people, but I would say that a young person could be duped into joining the military because they might be ignorant. But if you're in the military and you see what's really going on and then you learn about it and you keep going and you extend in the military,
you're a cult member.
Yeah, then you got a problem. We're out of time tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night. In the meantime, at freetalklive.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.